You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Well, we're super honoured, privileged to have Paul and Becky Harcourt with us. They were with us yesterday investing in our leaders. Guys, we should never take this for granted. We get to host some amazing, amazing people and leaders here in Hull. And they come from all over. And these guys come from London, All Saints Woodford, Wales, phenomenal church in northeast of London. And they've written a couple of fantastic books, so I really want to recommend them. They're for sale at the back of the auditorium. One's called Walking on Water. Becky shared her very moving story and testimony with us as leaders yesterday, and that's in this book here, and I really recommend that you get that. And Paul shared a little bit around discipleship called Growing in Circles. And I was reflecting on this. If the material they shared with us as leaders yesterday could be bottled up as medicine and served to the church twice a day for the rest of your lives, then incredible disciples would be made in our church and in our community. And so I strongly recommend that you get a copy of these books. So Paul and Becky, thank you for coming, investing in us and encouraging us. We really appreciate it. So let's welcome Paul as he comes to share.
Thank you, John. Morning, church. Morning. Good morning. Well, we should be thanking you because we've absolutely loved being with you. And we also want to know that your students are kind of sent out all over the place. And so Daniel and Colette have been commissioned as vineyard missionaries from Hull Vineyard to come to All Saints Woodford Wells and restore the Anglican Church to what it was meant to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're very blessed. They're with us now, but they date back to being here with you. And I just love it. It's really good. We've had a lovely time. We just really felt like we're part of something that we're all part of something bigger. And it's been a fantastic weekend. And so we got to share with the leaders yesterday, amazing bunch of people, and God was doing some really beautiful things. And I normally don't do this, but there was this moment in the worship where I felt God speak to me and say, tell the church. And so I wanted to share that as well with the congregations, not just with the leaders. I felt God say in the worship, this is the church that knows how to say yes to me. And I know that yes has sometimes been quite sacrificial, quite costly. So I want to say you can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. But I also felt that God was saying, if you keep saying yes to me, there is no limit to what I can do with people who say yes to me. So I hope that maybe will encourage you to keep saying yes to God and keep pressing in. He's got so much more. And he's taking us somewhere. I've been reflecting recently on how every time Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit, he uses images of things that move. So he talks about breath, and he talks about wind, and he talks about fire, and he talks about rivers. And it sent me back to a really familiar, very famous passage where Jesus talks about rivers of living water. We'll get to it in a minute. But it was something I really learned about more powerfully about 15 years ago. We were saying to the leaders yesterday, Becky and I, we've got two lovely now adult children. They're both on the autistic spectrum, so parenting's been a really interesting journey. And our son Joshua, who's now 26, is very low-functioning autistic, so he's never learned to speak. He's got a lot of toddler behaviours. We quite often, when we're with him, you know, we have to give him a phone so he can watch Teletubbies or something like that, or VeggieTales, so we give him some good spiritual content. I think they kind of led into Jesus, which is great. And our daughter, who's 23, is very high-functioning. So really, really bright, best-educated person in the family by far. And but parenting's been interesting, and it's thrown up all sorts of challenges. And one of the challenges particularly centres around Joshua, because he's non-verbal. There's a bunch of things that he's never been able to do. And so one example is he's not been baptized. because Becky's from the States, and they're Southern Baptists, and so they wanted us to really practice believers' baptism, even though I'm Church of England. And we kind of honoured that, and we thought that would be great. But of course, because he was never verbal, he could never confess his faith, and so we never really got there. But there was this thing, this time about 15 years ago, when we went out to see Becky's family in the States, and there's an amazing church that we go to. It's a really big church, a couple of thousand people, and they've just got an incredible special needs ministry, so we love to worship there because we know he's going to be looked after really well, and we get to worship without being anxious about what was happening to him. And you register him, they give you a little pager, and then you go into the worship service, and if they need you, they'll page you. So we're in the worship service, getting towards the end, and the pager starts going off. So, okay, I need to go find Joshua. So we go back down to where the special needs is, and in the lobby, as you're going down the corridor, is they built a baptistry as a feature, and it's quite big. It's been built out of the ground, not into the ground like lots of them are. It's about 4 feet high. It's also a water feature. They've done it beautifully. Basically, the water overflows constantly into grates on the side and then gets recycled and cleaned, I guess. But it's just this beautiful thing. And I'm walking down to collect Joshua, and I can see this group of people, and I thought, oh, amazing, there's a baptism. Because baptisms are like going on all the time in this church. And then I see that in the crowd around the baptism, there's a couple of heavies, local security, and they've got their health and safety faces on. You know what I mean? It's like, can't have this, can't have this. And then I realize what's happened is that Joshua's escaped from special needs ministry and he's baptized himself. So as far as he's concerned, it's a pool. It's great. So he's in the pool and the health and safety heavies are going, oh, I can't have this. This isn't good. So they're reaching out for him. Every time they do, he just like bobs backwards, slightly out of range. So they run around the back and he's not stupid. So he like bobs forward slightly, and eventually, the poor bloke who'd let him escape from the special needs ministry has to go and put on those big waders, you know, and wade in and drag him out. And we didn't have any spare change of clothes with him because we weren't expecting him to submerge himself. And so they gave him a T-shirt that said, I got baptized today at Grace. And rest of the morning, we had all these people coming up going, well done, you know, yeah, you got baptized. And he just looks like that. It was really funny. Wasn't so funny about 2 days later, because 2 days later we went down to see the river, because where Becky's family come from, it's the River Missouri, which is one of the two massive rivers in the States. And the Missouri was in flood. It was higher than it had been for years and years and years, and it was really an amazing thing to go and see, because it had burst its banks and it was like right up close to the bandstand and all this sort of stuff. And it's a dangerous river. It's a powerful river. It's got undertows. People die in the Missouri River every year when they go swimming, and they discover that there's an incredible pool going on just below the surface. And I don't really know how it happens to this day, but I'm walking along with him, holding his hand, and then somehow he did this kind of ninja move where he flicked his hand like this and escaped from me, and he threw himself in the river. My brother-in-law took off diagonally because he really was thinking ahead. He's thinking, okay, well, Joshua will get swept down here. I could catch him there maybe as he goes past. And I did like the dad thing, which is, it just didn't even occur to me. I just went straight in after Joshua. And fortunately, because he thought it was a bath, he was floating on the top. And I managed to grab his hand, but I could feel the pull of the river on my thighs. I remember it just dragging us away. And fortunately, because he was like in the upper part, not where the undertow was, I managed to grab him, get him back to the side. We were both really upset. Him, because he thought it was great and he was having a nice time. Me, because I thought we've just nearly died. It took me about 2 or 3 days for my heart rate to come down to normal levels. And I learned that there's a massive difference between a pool and a river. And so when Jesus uses river imagery for the Holy Spirit, he's not talking about a pleasant little trickle. He's talking about something powerful and transformative, something that could potentially sweep you away. Rivers deserve our respect. They're not just moving, but they're powerful. And when Jesus describes the work of the Holy Spirit as being like a river, it's probably so much more than we realize. I don't think I'd heard streams before, streams of living water, but the language in the original text is river, which just reminds us the gift of God's Spirit is not just the comfort of God's presence, but it's a powerful force for change. And I've been sent back to this because we're in a bit of a moment. We're in this moment where God's doing something in the nation. You've probably heard it called the Quiet Revival, and everybody has been reading, even the secular press, about how Bible sales are going through the roof and how people are turning up at church with a kind of sense that they need to be there. They don't even know what they're looking for, but it's kind of being sent by God there. So we're in this incredible moment of opportunity where people are open as they haven't been for ages. But at the same time, if the kingdom of God's forcefully advancing, the enemy's losing ground, he's not going to take it easily. So a lot of us in church world, we're experiencing maybe an increased sense of opposition as well. And in this moment of openness and opposition, what we need is we need to be a people that will help the people that are seeking find the true and living God. Because when you're open to God, you're open to everything. And we need them to find the real thing. And at the same time, to stand in this moment where perhaps the enemy doesn't like the fact that his kingdom's being taken away and people are being brought into salvation, we need to, again, press into things of God. The answer to both is life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit is what God's always calling us to, and it's a time, I think, where God's calling us to go deeper. And God's pointing out the difference between a pool and a river. So let me read the passage for us. This is John chapter 7, verse 37. I'd say it's a famous passage. A lot of people have read it before, but I just feel it hit me with fresh force recently. So it says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And in John's Gospel, glorified always means crucified because Jesus' throne is a cross. So what it's saying is that something, some connection here between the death of Jesus and the fount that opens through the blood of Jesus. The fount that cleanses us, but also the fountain of rivers of living water that start coming. And what this is talking about is getting beyond religion into reality. A lot of people are looking. They're not looking for religion. They're not looking for a framework. They're looking for a reality. And the priests, it says on the last and greatest day of the festival, well, the priests were actually enacting something as a ritual all the way through this festival. So it's the Jewish Festival of Tabernacles. It's one of the big high holidays of the Jewish people. And part of the ritual in the Feast of Tabernacles is the priests would go down to the Pool of Siloam and they would bring water up and they would come back and they would pour it out before the altar as a water offering before the Lord. And it was meant to remind the people of Isaiah 12, verse 3. It says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." It was meant to remind people of Ezekiel's amazing vision in Ezekiel 47, where it says that there's a river that flows from under the altar, and it flows down the steps, and it flows out. And wherever the river flows, there is life. It's about joy, it's about life. And Jesus is saying, you know what the priests are doing? They're pouring water out. Come to me. Come to me. I'm the reality you're looking for. This is all about relationship with me. The religion witnesses to it. But if you just go for religion, you're just taking on something that man has taken on as a response to God. It's meant to take you to me. Come to me. And I'm the source. And your qualification to receive is believe in me. It's not clean your act up first, get your life together, learn a bunch of stuff, you know, walk with me for a long time, qualify, go through the new members class. No, it's whoever believes in me will then be able to drink. And the drink that you take in is meant to not come in and stop there. That would be a stagnant pool. It's meant to become in you a way going through you. It's meant to become a river of life-giving water. So this reality that all of the Old Testament points to is found in Jesus. And this river of God is the bridge between what we long for and what we receive, the fulfillment. We're created to love and worship God. You're not going to be satisfied until you come into that place. And the river comes in and it changes us, and it then comes through us and it flows out in transformation. Wherever the river goes, it brings life. And you see that as you journey through the rest of the New Testament. You see that the disciples, when the Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, you see that it brought people together in a new way. The river washed away any racial boundaries or any language boundaries. See, in our sin, humanity had been divided and scattered. And when the Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost, everybody heard them praising God in their own language. Suddenly they came back together. Babel was reversed, and the people of God came into one new family. When we see the New Testament church, the early church in Acts, when the river came, it washed away any of the economic differences that there were. Church in Acts was marked by generosity, care for the poor. And if we're really honest, a lot of the divisions in our society are based on fear. So that if someone gets something, I'll get less. And so I resent that person. You know, they're getting stuff and it means I'm going to get less. And that kind of is this worldly mindset where you're locked into this win-lose situation. But the people who encountered God discovered there's God who pours into our life and never stops pouring. And he's never exhausted. And those people become a generous people because they're so shaped by their experience of God that they become people who can give and who can love and who can care. And I know your hope center is an expression of what God's doing in your hearts. It's a natural outworking of a people who have been transformed by the power of the Spirit. So Jesus says that this river, his Spirit, flows into the believer and out from us. It satisfies our thirst for God's presence in our life, but it also means God's love and power start to transform the people and places around us. So it's a personal experience, but it's not a private one. Yeah, it doesn't end with you. And I know that's kind of challenging. Sometimes in the charismatic renewal, we get so focused on the intimacy with Jesus that we forget it's meant to have an outworking. You know, I was saying in the first service, there was an American preacher that we loved. He used to preach at that church we visited. And he just had one of these amazing American ways with words. And I remember him saying in one service, best thing you can do for a Christian is baptize them, then shoot them. It's all stuck in my mind, isn't it? It's quite memorable, that. You won't forget that. Be the only thing you remember from this morning. But what he was saying was, if God really loves you, wouldn't he want to take you to heaven right now? How many people think that enjoying heaven is going to be much more than enjoying this earth? Yeah, so if God loves us, why are you still here? It's because you're not the only one he loves. Yeah? So when he loves us, he breaks into our lives, but then he wants to show his love to other people through us. If you're not dead, you're not done. You're still here. There's a purpose for your life. And the river's flowing in, but it's meant to flow out as well. And it's going to flow out because it's going to touch the people at their point of need. And in the same way that you came to Jesus, you encountered his Spirit began to satisfy you, to heal you, to transform you, people can see that in your life. And we used to say about evangelism is really simple. It's not going to somebody and arguing with them until they change their mind because our framework is better than their framework, although it is. It's basically one beggar going to another beggar saying, you hungry? I found bread. Do you want to know where the bread is? Can I tell you about the bread? You know, it's a humble thing. It's basically, so I'm no different from you, but I've found an answer to the needs that I think you've probably got as well. It's what it is. It's all it is. It's the overflow of the power of the Spirit coming into us. Now, there is an alternative to the river. The alternative is the pool. And pools represent what God has done in the past. Maybe when the water was high and there's something that's kind of still remaining. And a pool, well, it's easier to control, but it will eventually stagnate because there's no flow. and it will eventually run dry. And you'll know if you're in pool territory because, it might be in your own life. You might recognize that you're actually living off the faith of somebody else. You know, it's your spouse's faith that's really your, you know, the thing that's kind of keeping you close to God. You haven't laid hold of it for yourself in quite the way you need to. Or maybe it's your parents' faith. That was the same for probably lots of us who grew up in the church. It was our parents' faith. We didn't really, you know, we hadn't really made our own surrender to God until hopefully there was a moment where we said, well, even if they stop following you, Jesus, I'm not. You're my Lord. I think our society is kind of living off it. Our society wants Christian values. Have you noticed that? You know, all these things that nobody can explain except by the gospel, like human rights and, you know, a caring, compassionate society and, you know, a sense of moral responsibility, a sense of boundaries and a sense of the rich should look after the poor. You can't explain that apart from the gospel. So they want the kingdom, but so often they don't want the king. That's why cultural Christianity is so dangerous, because ultimately it's just a mental trick. It hasn't got any power in it. The power is when you come to the king. Because when you come to the king, whoever believes in me, out of them, rivers of life-giving water will flow. So the river represents God doing something fresh. It represents God doing something that's never going to run dry. It represents something that's powerful. And sometimes what the river looks like in our lives is it looks like the cleanup. Maybe when the river's powerfully flowing, there's like rocks and boulders that are trying to dam it. And those rocks and boulders can be things like sin or wounds, traumas, things that have been done to us as much as the things that we've done to ourselves. But the river, when it's flowing, it pushes all of that away. And when it does, then it flows more freely, more naturally, more powerfully. Sometimes it's not like big things that you can identify. It's just, it like silts up over time. Because a little bit of neglect, maybe kind of a bit of familiarity. And then gradually it's not as strong as it was. And you might, if you're really honest, look back at your life and you say, I knew the river. I knew it once. You know, I could tell you the date. I was filled with the Spirit. God says, great, how are you doing today? I was filled with the Spirit. It's not what Jesus is calling us to, is it? He's saying, do you want to be filled now? Because the river's a flowing thing. It's not a pool. It's not about what happened in the past that we're trading off. It's about what God's doing today. And I just think that in this moment of kind of opportunity and opposition, God is calling us back to the river. It's a really simple message, but it is the thing that transforms us. Christianity is incredibly simple. It's come to Jesus and he'll do it. You just have to say yes. So for me to hear from God, this is a church that knows how to say yes. I just want to commend you in that. And I want to encourage you, keep saying yes to Jesus. You know, we're living sacrifices, aren't we? The problem with a living sacrifice is it wanders off. You just got to keep getting back on the altar. Keep getting back to saying yes to Jesus. And then we know his power and his purpose today, and then it flows, and then everything where the river flows becomes life. Do you want that? God's doing that. We saw it yesterday. We saw it in first service. You'll see it in your weeks to come. You've been seeing it for months before. God is doing a new thing. It's a new season of the river. He wants us to press in. So I could talk more, but I'd much rather God came and did something. So shall we stand?
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.